that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
Good morning, and we welcome you to Scriptures for America broadcast. This is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And there's three or four things you have to have for Coffee with the Wranglers. One is the Holy Spirit, and we've invited him here this morning. Holy Spirit, you're welcome. You got to have coffee, and we have coffee. And then you got to have the Wranglers, and you got the Wranglers too. So we say good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Morning.
And good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And Kyle, we're going to ask you to open up in prayer, if that's all right.
Sure.
And then we'll get on with the Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
Well, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We humbly entreat you, and we ask you, Lord, as Richard said, let your Holy Spirit dwell upon us, dwell among us, be with our words and our thoughts and our direction. Lead and guide us where you want us to go for your purpose, to help us, to help the saints, to help anyone who needs help, and just so we can kind of have a good fellowship here, get our weekend started right, start it off in the direction you want us to go, and keep us, let us keep our minds and thoughts captive, hold them captive, Lord, on things pertaining to you and your kingdom. Be with all the saints out there and keep your remnant close to you. Don't let them stray off. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
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 And we welcome the remnant Wranglers out there as well. We know they're tuning in from sea to shining sea. We welcome you here to coffee with us. Hope you have your coffee poured and your Bible open. And we'll have the phone lines open up, maybe the second half of the program. But I think we've got a few things to talk about this morning and share with everybody. And I'll turn it down to the Colorado crew. Jason and John, how are things down there with you guys? We'll go Jason.
Go ahead, Jason.
We'll go Jason first. How about that?
I'm having a hard time. I can't hear.
Oh, Well, let me see if I can boost all this up a little bit. Yeah, everything seems to be going out all right. I'll boost it up a little bit. Anyway, good morning, Jason. How are things in Colorado?
Oh, they're going all right. Be a little better if I could hear.
Oh. Well, I don't know. Everything looks pretty normal here. You just have to let us know. Well, John, how are things with you?
Good.
I know you've been working hard on that school, trying to work on getting that Christian school, keeping the roof on and all that good stuff.
Yep. It's pretty much what I've been doing in my spare time these days.
Well, there's plenty going on out in the world. I know one big thing is there's a hurricane here the end of October named Sandy. And they start the year off with the A's, names that begin with an A, and names that begin with a B, and then C, and then D, and they're all the way through S. And Sandy, just this morning, came back as a hurricane. They had dropped it down to a tropical storm.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's back up as a hurricane. Winds clocked at 75 miles an hour. Heck, that's just a little winter blowout here in Wyoming, Colorado, but... Oh, down on the East Coast in Florida and the Caribbean, they tend to call those things hurricanes.
And if they're calling it Frankenstorm.
They are. They're saying with it coming in and the way the Gulf Stream's rolling, and they're expecting a hurricane in the south, and by the time it rolls into the north, it may be a full-blown nor'easter is what they're expecting. And isn't it interesting to hear right around what I guess we have we have Halloween next week, right? Isn't it next Wednesday? That they use these type of terms. Monstrous storm and Frankenstorm that you mentioned, John. And that's about when it's gonna hit, is right up in there.
Yeah, last year they had a storm. It was pretty interesting that the same storm about the same time started last year, where it was two storm fronts came together and they were calling it a Frankenstorm. Started at the same time and it pretty much shut, it did shut several towns down from celebrating Halloween. All the Halloween parties were canceled, power outages were huge, and from the looks of it, it's going to be the same thing this year.
Yep. Amen. Yeah, I guess they're canceling weekend campaign events. Hallelujah. In light of this storm coming in. And I think just even that you have a hurricane, we've had so many this year, they're named all the way up to S and Sandy. It seems like it was maybe Irene or something like that was that last storm. Maybe that's the one you're talking about, that hurricane that came all the way up. But that's half as many storms in that year. So maybe the people should stop talking to Mother Nature, start talking to God Almighty, who creates the storms, who causes them to pass through and can cause them to just blow on over. I know we had our fair share of little wind and snow here the last few days. We've gotten about a dozen inches of snow this last week. A good bit of it melted right into the ground, but it's still ankle-deep in places when you step out there.
Gotta love it. Falling the Rockies.
That's right. That's right. So we've got snow out here. They've got it in the northwest. They've got another hurricane rolling up the east coast at the end of October. It's just about unheard of. Reminds me of birth pangs. What do you think, Kyle?
I think it reminds... I don't know what birth pangs are like. I never went through that, but yeah, it is. It's it's been getting that way every year for many years. I don't know what 9 months of birth pangs is to God. Maybe it's 20 years, maybe whatever it is, but it's getting there every year, getting a little closer to the day. We were talking before we started the show today, there was a Bible laying on the desk that I left out off the Bible or off the pastor's shelf. It's a New American Standard. I used it Tuesday night on Saddle Up just to refer to something in that version. And I went to put it back this morning, and Richard's like, is that one out of the office that we sell? And I go, I don't think so, you know. So we looked in it, and it was signed, you know, it was presented to the pastor, I don't know how many years ago, but by a man and woman, was it a man and woman? And they're not on the ministry anymore, and Richard was saying that they thought they got mad about something. And, you know, and it's like so many through the years, you know, and I haven't been here that many years, but so many through the years have, they get mad at little things. And anyway, it brought up the scripture in my mind in Ephesians 3. Well, actually, Ephesians 4:26, where it says, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. There's so many times a husband and wife, for instance, they let the sun go down on their wrath. And it'll, I don't know what the word is, but there'll be a root of bitterness that'll take effect. Now, that doesn't mean every time. That doesn't mean, you know, that you can't repent and, you know, it won't go away or whatever. But if you let it build, then justification comes in. And I'm right, you know, and I can't believe he's letting it go this long, or I can't believe she's letting it go this long, or I can't believe they are, you know, won't call me and apologize, or, and you get this bitterness that comes in. And no matter who's right, or no matter who's wrong, what you're doing is wrong. If you let the sun go down upon your wrath. And, you know, you think about all the people that, for the stupidest reasons, aren't with us anymore, or aren't friends with you anymore. I can think of numerous people in my life that I really don't know why I'm not a friend with them anymore, but I'm not. And I wonder if it was my fault. You know, maybe it was theirs, maybe it was my, I don't know, but it's kind of really sad when you think about it. You know, I know brothers who haven't talked for many years of their life. Sometimes situations like that, they you know, they reconcile before the end. Sometimes they don't. Mm-hmm. You know, they keep thinking next year, you know, I should call him. They don't. Pride or whatever, you know, it's just so many things, you know, when you know, it don't take much to make you start thinking. Well, let me read Colossians 3:8. It says, but now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communications out of your mouth. I mean, we are told not only what to do, but what not to do.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, it's just kind of sad when people fall away, or families don't talk, or, you know, you got all these situations because somebody let the sun go down upon their wrath. And then it builds upon that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, don't mean to be down this morning, but it just kind of hit me that way.
Well, it is. When I saw, when we looked at the front of that Bible, when you showed that to me, and I saw who that was from, and I think the year was 1987. Mm. And those people had been around quite a while before then, and had been around up until just maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And it is sad. It's when you think here's families that have contributed, that have received blessings from God, that have been blessed by the pastor and his teachings, and so many times I know that I've seen that for whatever reason, whether it's like you said, they get mad at something and they don't get it reconciled, but they fall away. And we're told time and time again that the ones that will be saved are those that endure to the end. And you talked about that forgiveness, not letting your son go down on your anger, on your wrath, and that it's not every time you have a disagreement, whether it's with your wife or with your brother or with someone out on the other end of the world or the other side of the country, that hear something wrong or misunderstand something, or you know, sometimes we may put something out or say something that just really offends somebody. And I mean a brother, not an antichrist out there. We're supposed to offend them. But a brother. And when that happens, you know, we have to be able to communicate that. We certainly don't want to practice offending our brothers. We don't want to do it on purpose.
Yeah, and they're just extended family. I remember the pastor years ago brought out, they're not on the ministry, but he brought out some stuff on being a man of steel and a man of velvet. Now, the man of steel is what you would picture. He's tough, he's hard, he can take it, you know. But you have to have the other side, too. You have to be a man of velvet, too, who can be soft and compassionate and repentant and humble. You know what I mean? We all want to focus on being a man of steel, or, you know, real men like to focus on that.
Right.
It's just the direction they want to go. You know, I'm going to be a man, and I'm not, you know, take this. But there's another side, you know, and sometimes it swallow your pride, even when you're not the one that did something wrong, or you at least don't think you did. You know, swallow your pride and say, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, make a phone call. There's a guy that died that I wasn't real familiar with him. He died back in Oregon several years back. And I know he never got baptized. But, you know, I kept, you know, didn't really think about it, you know, but when I should have had been a little bit more of a man of velvet and went out there and said, hey, you know, I know we haven't got along that great in our lives, but, you know, would you like me to baptize you? Because it was obvious he wasn't pulling out, you know. But no, I just let it go, you know, and I kicked myself today. In fact, his son is on our ministry, I think. And it's like, you know, I just kind of kicked myself that I didn't make a point to go out, even though I wasn't that familiar with him, familiar enough to where I should have cared for his soul, you know. But anyway.
Well, that's from Laramie. What else is going on in the world, guys?
I'm just listening.
There you go.
I'm learning.
Did you get my text message on that, Richard?
Let me take a look. My phone's turned down, so it doesn't beep all evening.
I felt something on my elbow earlier, so I think it came in.
Yeah, might have been. Might have been. So, but yes, I did. We'll see what we can do with that. So, well, I think along those lines, Kyle, in Matthew 7, the words of Jesus Christ, he's talking about a tree and its fruit. In the words of Jesus Christ in Matthew 7:21, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I can't help but think, when I read that this week, that that's how probably most of the Antichrist Judeo-Christian church world would consider themselves. Lord, didn't we, you know, we prayed for Aunt Mary one time. I remember praying. That's what they're going to say to God. And they're going to say, didn't we hear about him casting out demons in church way back, you know, 27 years ago? And they're going
to
be dumb.
Yeah, or even, you know, remember when you saved me from that car wreck last year? You know, that proved to me that I was yours. I mean, that's the kind of logic they use. Yeah.
And he's going to say, and then I will declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And we've heard that verse time and time again. The thing that kind of stuck out to me this week when I read that was, you who practice lawlessness. You know, we have so many people today, our people are so hard-hearted that we our people practice it. They don't just do it once. And that came to mind again when you were saying that, you know, many times you might have a disagreement with your wife or your brother or whatever, And it doesn't always lead to anger, but when we let it, I think that's what we're doing. We're practicing law. We're trying to get better at it. We practice at it, and we practice at it, and we practice at it till we get better and better. You know, Jason down there, Jason's a dead-eye shot. If you got somebody needing to shoot for you, you know, that's like, that's what, about the fourth rule of a gunfight, I think, Jason, is bring lots of friends with guns. Something along those lines. And if you got to get into that kind of a situation or Jason's a shot, but he didn't just pick up a gun and just naturally be able to zing them bullets out there and hit where you want to hit. You know, Jason practices. Probably not. He probably doesn't get to practice as much as he'd like to, huh, Jason?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, we'd always like to be able to do a little bit more of that. But he practices at it, so he's good at it. And I think that's what Christ is saying here. You who have just had lawlessness as part of your life. And we know, if you're not familiar with what that term is, remnant, lawlessness, that's sin. Because sin is lawlessness. It's transgression of the law. His law that is still in effect today, yes, even after Christ came on the cross. And so, if you're practicing that, if it's a great part of your life, and that's sin, then he's not going to know you on that day. And he's going to tell you to depart from him, and you'll end up in a place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and separation from God. Sounds like a hell of a place to me. Not a place that I want to practice to try to get into. You know, we have to practice and do our best just on the opposite end. Practice to stay away from there.
Yeah, the word practice is key, you know, because we're all sinners. You know, and just like the Word of God says that every man's a liar. Well, it also says that liars will not enter the kingdom of God. You know, so the difference is a repentant liar or a practicing liar. You know, I mean, one who does it willfully on purpose. Sometimes they go out of their way to lie. You know, I mean, so, I mean, the key is always practice for murderers, for homosexuals, for whatever it is. A practicing sinner is different than somebody who is a sinner.
Right. You know, who is running away from it.
Running away, who is a repentant sinner, you know, and
amen.
The practicing sinner, well, they're gonna be under sin and death. You know. The repentant sinner, if they're in Christ, well, they'll be forgiven.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's open up the phone lines. 307-745-5913. If you're up having coffee with us this morning and you have a comment to make, you can give us a call, and we'll do what we can to get you on the air. 307-745-5913.
Yeah, last week I put it out that you were elk hunting. And not only did we get a lot of phone calls, we probably got 6 phone calls last Saturday. But, you know, I noticed people, like on Wednesday night when they called in, they asked you if you got an elk. So,
yeah.
I mean, they're out there listening.
Sure.
So it sure is nice when they participate.
It is. It is. And haven't got an elk yet. So, still got till the end of this month, and there's a couple of special places open up till the end of next month, I guess. So
hurry up! We got some more room in our freezer.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's the scripture that I've been just laid heavily on my heart this last week, and is found in Psalms 37, verse 1, and basically 1 through 10. It's one of those scriptures that I know we've all read it, and we've heard it, and, you know, I've read it on the radio several times, but it's one that when you hear it, it really brings a sense of relief to a person. And, you know, with the despair and with, you know, people getting on and getting so riled up about the presidential debates and, you know, what they're doing and how they're, what's going on over on this front or what's going on over on that front, you know, it's so easy to be caught up in fretting. And I'm just going to read Psalms 37, 1 through, I think I'll probably read through 10. It says, the Psalms of David, do not fret because of evildoers, be not envious towards wrongdoers, for They will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil doing. For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. And that was just one of those scriptures that, you know, you read it, and, you know, it means a lot to a person when they read it, but they don't read it near enough.
Amen.
And talking to somebody this week who was all riled up about this presidential debate, and it was, you know, I brought up that scripture to him. You know, don't fret over evildoers. And, you know, it's amazing how just hearing that sometimes will calm a person down. And it's one of those things that there's, you know, that we see in this scripture, we see cause and effect. We see, you know, if you do this, I will do this. And most people don't look at it that way, but that's really what it's saying. Don't fret. And if you don't fret, I'll deal with the evildoers. Well, we're dealing with a band of evildoers here in this land right now. And our people aren't doing their part because they're fretting. They're right. Being disobedient to the scripture. And I believe that you look around and you see so much fretting going on that if we as a people do our part and don't fret over the evildoers, we can actually put more of our trust in our Heavenly Father. When we do that, there's a transfer that takes place, and the Lord, his hands are untied. He can deal with these evildoers as he sees fit. A lot of times when, you know, we're waiting on the Lord to do his part and saying, okay, Father, we got all these evildoers and we're fretting about them, worrying about them, you know, upset about it, saying, deal with them, deal with them, deal with them. Well, I just have this sense that sometimes he's saying, okay, well, quit your fretting. Do
yes,
what I've told you to do, and then I can deal with the evildoers.
You know, Jason, the thought occurs to me when you read that, or when you said that last thing there, and I love that, Psalms 37. Thanks for sharing that with everybody this morning. The thought occurred to me was, we're ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is complete. He says in verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good.
Exactly.
You know, right there. Hey, the phone lines are ringing. Let's see if we can get some people on the phone here.
Good morning. Thanks for calling in and thanks for holding.
Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
Calvin here.
Good morning, Cal.
I was just enjoying your fellows with the coffee cups out. And it came to mind, I was reading my devotions this morning, the introduction to Farrar Fenton's translation of the Bible, and where he alludes to how that important Isaiah was as a great man in his knowledge of statesmanship and trust in the Lord, and he made reference to there that the Hebrews had gotten these 72 men, the elders, and then basically got a two-party system, which supposedly was to help the Hebrew children in their governing of their nation. But it turned out that the two parties were not following what the Lord wanted them to do, but they were bent on destroying each other. And I said, boy, if that isn't a picture of what's going on now.
Well, it's interesting because in that introduction on that for our friend, you can see that for our Fenton, he knew who true Israel was.
That's right. That's right. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better, John. You sound good.
That talk about that or claim it. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Yes, exactly. And then when immediately it goes to my mind is that Peter is given the keys to the kingdom. And what are the keys? I kept saying in my mind, what are the keys? Well, obviously, if he's given the keys and he brought the first sermon on the day there, Pentecost, repent and be baptized. Duh.
Yep.
You know, in fact, I'm almost positive now that the only reason that has unlocked in my heart and mind was upon my being baptized as Pastor had instructed us to do all these years. And that allowed the Holy Spirit now to create, to be my new nature, gave birth to a new nature. And that one, according to the Word of God, cannot sin. My flesh can, but that one's already sealed. So if you're guided by the Spirit, then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And boy, the Spirit's got to work overtime down here. I was just thinking earlier today, I said, man, oh man, I could figure out what got Satan so ticked off. I must have done something. I wish I could figure out what it was. Because talk about oppression. Man, just listen on the radio. I have to turn it off. I can't stand to talk about this. Who cares about what they do in Washington? They're all liars. They have to be. Because they don't care about our. It says the instituted, governments are instituted among men to secure those rights. They don't care about our rights.
No.
Anyway, I think you guys are doing a great job. I'm enjoying myself. I'm going to stop preaching. I'll hang up and listen.
Calvin, have a great weekend.
Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You too.
Thanks, Cal.
That's good points.
Yeah. Yeah, we really need to learn how to laugh. Laugh at their little get-togethers and their figuring out. You know, even the enemy knows how to laugh at them. I was watching we were watching the weather thing last night about the Hurricane Sandy, but anyway, when my wife went to go get ready for bed, I watched David Letterman, the first part of it, you know, and he always does his little jokes. Well, part of his line last night was talking about it was a fake poll that came out about the election, and he's saying on the 6th they'll vote in the new presidency, and on the 9th there'll be a recount, and on the 15th they'll, you know, the courts will decide who because they just laugh at it, you know, and you could tell that, you know, from other comments that, you know, they're Democratic in their opinion. I mean, they made fun of Romney or whatever, but the whole point was that, you know, that it's a joke to them.
Yeah, they,
you know,
know it.
And it's their life, you know, but it's still a joke to them, you know, so it ought to be kind of a joke to us.
Let's see if we can get back to the phone lines. Lost that one. Let's try this one. Good morning, and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, good morning. This is Dennis in Virginia.
Good morning, Dennis.
Have you noticed how wonderful the mighty weapon has worked out? People are beginning to see the lies everywhere, and all of the lies that they come up with in Washington fall flat on their face because the people are seeing right through them. I don't believe it's because God is opening the eyes. I think it's because he's confusing the liars and making it difficult for them to lie like they have been getting away with for centuries.
Amen. Exposing them.
That's right. May DC sorceries cease. And I think they are ceasing. Good point, Dennis.
Oh, yeah.
Good point. Well, thanks for sharing that, Dennis.
I've enjoyed listening to you, and I'm going to sign off and let somebody else have a chance. Goodbye.
Thanks, Dennis. And the phone lines are still ringing. This is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, and the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Howdy. This is Dylan in Central Texas.
Good morning, Dylan.
Good morning, Ramrod and Wranglers.
Morning.
I think it's very appropriate that the so-called Halloween is right near the so-called presidential election, because Halloween is this celebration of making things look not real that are real, such as demons, ghosts, witches, warlocks, and monsters, and what have you. And the presidential election is a total farce, as if, you know, the men who were supposedly elected gonna have any control of their hands or whatever. They might just as well be standing up there in Halloween costumes. And earlier last month, I started to fret, not about the so-called election. I stopped being concerned about that kind of stuff a long time ago. And even a longer time ago, I stopped participating in Halloween. I don't mean just mean as a child, but I stopped, you know, thinking it was a neat holiday. And in September, I noticed that a neighbor of mine, a man I really like, I'm 100% sure he doesn't call upon God at this time, but he is an Israelite, and he and his wife have two children, and he's one of my favorite neighbors on the block. Really good guy. And he, I pray for his repentance, but he put up a so-called ghost, you know, a white sheet with two eyes and a big, larger dot for the mouth, like a big open mouth, you know, hanging from the tree, you know, a so-called ghost in celebration of Halloween. And I fretted about it for two or three weeks, and and things went through my mind to say to him, but you know, I'm just like, no, I'm just not going to say anything to him. I'm just praying for him, because other than that, he's just like, you know, great guy. And but you know, one person right here has an Obama sign in their yard, you know, that's not real. And another person has a mannequin of a ghost, you know, and as if that's not real. And that having been said, I had a really interesting experience the other day while I was waiting for the library to open to go and check my email to get the prayer chain list of people to pray for. I was sitting facing the creek, and the Lord spoke to me and said, "You're not going to like it." And I saw in the creek what appeared. Well, I just thought it was something a lot. It's not even a creek. It's a tributary to the creek, and we've had a good bit of rain, but this tributary is usually dry. But there's at least a foot, maybe a couple of foot of water. I guess it's like a couple of foot water right where I was looking. I was looking at something in there. It's murky, but you can still see through the water. And I said, that's got to be something alive. But then I thought, no, it's just too big. Maybe it's just an old oil can, or it's part of a sign. But then it started moving, and I said, no, that's moving like a turtle. But I just had the bad feeling about it, and it sort of swam in my direction. I was a long way away from it. And then it poked its head up, and it was this huge, I swear to God, it was a serpent. It looked like what you would call a turtle. It had, its back was bright yellow with red highlights, like in the creases of the turtle's shell, and its head had to be at least as big as my fist. And it just poked its head up and was looking at me for a little bit. And I swear, I just wanted to kill it. And I was gawking at it, and then it went back down under the water. And then, the people were waiting for the library doors to open, and then I heard this guy accost this other guy. This guy with like a Russian or East European accent started accosting, my fellow Israelite American, saying, "Are you looking at me? Are you staring at me? I'm gonna call the police. If you're harassing me, I'm going to call the police." He sounded like Arnold Schwarzenegger or something, the way he talked. "So I'm going to call the police. Are you staring at me? I'm going to call the police. Are you harassing me?" And he just walked away. The Israelite guy just didn't do anything. So after a minute or two, I walked over to the Israelite guy, and he's just standing there, and there's mainly women and children standing around there. And I just kind of gave him support and said, "What, this guy's trying to, you know, tell you you're harassing him or something?" And the guy says, "I don't know what his problem is. He woke up on the wrong side of bed." And I said, "Yeah, you know, if you thought you were staring at him, he should have said, you know, 'Would you not stare at me, please?'" And then what came out of my mouth, I mean, I'm usually on the best behavior at the library, and there's a bunch of women and children standing around there, and as I'm walking away from him, you know, just kind of giving that guy some support and voicing my opinion, and then what came out of my mouth was like, "Oh, well, that guy, at least he shouldn't, you know, he doesn't have to be a blankety 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 blank, you know," right there in front of all these women and children. I was like, "Man, why did I say that?" And so, just like, you know, the Lord said, I wasn't going to like it. I didn't like the turtle. It was a serpent. It was Satan. I didn't like that East European guy. That, you know, I hate it when people call the police for nothing, and then all that bad stuff that came out of my mouth in front of those women and children. And that was it. And y'all gentlemen, have a good morning.
All right, Dylan.
Thanks, Dylan.
Thanks for sharing that with us. You know, Kyle, the kind of thought occurs to me, it comes back to what we started talking about this morning. First thing was that it is a daily fight of faith. We have to, like your prayer, we have to take our thoughts captive. We have to think before we do something and make sure it's going to glorify Him.
Yeah, even like the Apostle Peter, you know, I mean, Jesus said to him, you know, Satan's going to try to sift you. Now, there's a reason for that, because Peter was given the keys of the kingdom, like Calvin said. But the same thing applies to all of us who are God's, is Satan's going to try to sift you. But, you know, it's like Peter got the opportunity to repent. And, you know, it made him a better man, a better person, a better Christian. Just for the fact of knowing that nobody's invincible.
You know,
I mean, there's penetration that's going to come in. You know, that's why, you know, like Jason talks about all the time, and, you know, obviously the pastor taught it, and that's put on that full armor of God every morning. And maybe during the day, as often as you can, you know,
yes.
Just, you know, put it on, because the forces of evil are going to come against you, you know.
Yeah, I was just looking on my iPad here, and came up Ephesians 4:17 says, "So I say this and insist in the Lord that you no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their hearts." How many times did our pastor teach us that we have to soften our hearts?
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yes, Richard. Joe in PA.
Good morning, Joe.
Morning there. Morning, guys.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Something happened. You're speaking of anger and such. 3 days ago or so, I got a phone call out of the blue from this campaign for Obama. I wonder if any of you guys ever heard from them.
No, I don't think so.
I guess they're selecting names as
well. I've had them call a couple of times.
Yeah, I've got kind of an unusual name. You know, you don't hear my name around here very often. I've had this happen a couple of times. Anyway, she asked me, it was a woman. You can tell it was a old cackling hen. You could tell she was in a room full of old cackling hens. You know, they were all, you know, yakking all right on the phones. And it sounded to me like they were all talking with avid supporters on the phone. But anyway, they got a hold of me, and they were asking me about the campaign and was I aware of this, that, or the other thing. And I immediately blurted out, you know, I'm not voting for man. I'm voting for Christ, you know. And she immediately started yelling, laughing at me. And it occurs to me, listening to you guys here, be angry and sin not, I got indignant. And I asked her, well, what are you laughing at? And I got genuinely angry when I should have actually turned around and laughed back at her. And I said, I should have said, oh, you know, you can laugh now, but there'll come a day when you're going to be crying.
That's right.
So.
Well, they're all looking for a savior, you know, yeah. And, you know, and I, this obviously isn't for every individual out there, but if you listen to the talk shows, Romney is the Democratic savior. You know, and we know years ago, I mean, they were calling Obama the Messiah. You know, I mean, so really when you get down to it, I mean, who really should be laughing at who? Because we actually do look for our Savior, and He is the Savior, you know, but, you know, and their Saviors are all, they're just here for a vapor, and they're gone. You know, they can't save anybody.
It seems like they're casting about. You know, even the establishment in the media here, local public radio station. Nine times out of ten, they'll have a Jewish person, a man or a woman, talking, having an interview with somebody, and they're actually bashing Obama more than Romney, it seems. Like, or about 50-50. It's like a 50-50 split. They're really distraught on how things turned out. There was so much opposition here, and Obama couldn't accomplish, what he set out to do, or there was no unity in the Congress, or this, that, or the other thing. And it never occurs to people that what has happened is part of a great scheme of things. And as long as the old machine can keep chugging along, they don't care about the small stuff.
And you got to remember that they want everybody to think that your vote counts. I mean, they want you to think that you're part of this free choice of who's going to govern over you. You know, I mean, that's part of the game.
It is.
And that's what that woman told me. She said, I haven't heard, speaking of Christ, I haven't heard him in any of the debates.
And she's, you know, right about that. Like, she hasn't heard anything mentioned about him in any of the debates.
Yeah, and I'm participating in this inane conversation on the phone, and I told her, you know, you're a smart, you know, horse's patoot. I didn't say that, but, and then I just hung up and said goodbye. When I should have been laughing at her and, you know, maybe even trying to inject some thought into her small little brain. But, anyway, thanks for taking my call, and we'll be listening.
Thanks,
listening
Joe.
In.
Have a good weekend. Thank you. And the phone lines are still ringing. So we'll go back to them.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, 307-745-5913.
Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Hi, this is Bob in Ohio.
Good morning, Bob.
How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys caught this or not, but about 3 weeks to a month back or so, Netanyahu had demanded a conference with Obama because he was demanding that Obama put down in writing an exact thing for dealing with Iran and a timetable as to, you know, they comply or we strike. And Obama said, no, I'm not going to meet with you now. It was within 2-3 days after that, all of a sudden I start seeing a massive ad campaign on the TV stations with anti-Obama content on it, and these were all paid for by the Jewish Republican Coalition. So there you go. And then a week or two after that, then Billy Graham comes out with his whole page Wall Street ad campaign thing. I know you guys caught that. I heard you talking about it, but I didn't. You know, there was something else that was said in that, and I didn't hear you guys. I don't know if you guys didn't catch that or not. But Billy Graham had said, well, when you go to vote, you should vote for who, you know, for the candidate that has biblical values and supports the state of Israel.
Yeah, I saw that.
So who do you think probably paid for this whole page Wall Street Journal ad campaign thing on the vote your biblical values? You know, when it had the addendum in there, and, you know, and supports, you know, so there's what Billy Graham is thinking, that, you know, a candidate for office in the United States should have to support the state of Israel or not get your vote. So that shows where Billy Graham stands. You know, he's always been in that corner. He's the one that turncoated on Nixon.
Yes, he did.
And it was Billy Graham that had made the statement that, you know, before he did anything each morning, he called his rabbi up to get instruction. So that's the big Christian a Christian minister out there. Gets his instructions every morning from his rabbi.
Yeah, and unfortunately, it's happening all over the pulpits. You know, they're all the same. They're all, whether they're purposely or innocently teaching the false people or the people of God, or it doesn't really even matter. But you know, it starts with Billy Graham, the big cheese or whatever, and it goes down to every little pulpit on every little street corner. They all have the same rhetoric, you know, and that is, you know. But, well, kind of like Dylan was saying, it's all fake, you know. They're all in costume, you know, and that's how Edom's going about trying to get their birthright back, is by disguise, you know, and a trick or treat, you know. Well, most of us, you know, most of the world out there is falling for it, but the deal is, you know, it's just a counterfeit. You know?
Oh, the pulpits are something else. You know, a lot of times in the morning, early morning, I listen to a local Christian radio station here to get the you know, the traffic updates and weather and stuff like that. You know, we're talking early morning. And the one day I had left this, you know, I had my little Walkman on and you know, the earbuds, and this was a couple 3 hours later or something, I turned this thing back on, and here they just happened to have a time slot with a call in. They had a couple of their big wigs from the Moody Broadcast Network and from the Moody Theological Institute. And one of these two guys was the head of Judaic Studies, who himself was, of course, a Jew. And they were taking call-ins, and this guy calls in, and he says, I'm having issues with my identity. And the guy says, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, you know, with the gay thing. So right away, the Jewish theologian asked to take the call. And the guy says, well, you know, well, are you a believer? And the guy says, well, yeah. And he says, well, that's your identity. And the guy says, well, but I'm still living and acting in that lifestyle. And the guy says, no. God doesn't see that. The second that you became a believer, you were born again, and that's your identity. Doesn't matter what you're doing or what you're living. That's your identity. So you see the kind of bump that's coming down right from the top echelons in the big institute of teaching the theologians.
Yep. They have practiced lawlessness so long, they have really got it down good, and they make it sound good.
That's your identity. It doesn't matter how you're living. You're a new creature in Christ. The second that you believed, you're a new creature. And God doesn't see what you're doing anymore.
Yep.
Well, the guy says, well, but I don't feel like I was reborn. And the guy says, well, take my word on it. You were.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm still thinking the same thoughts. I'm still doing the same behavior. He goes, no, God doesn't see that. It's okay. You're a believer. You were reborn. So, you're okay. So, there you go.
Amazing.
Well, anyway, I got to roll.
Thanks, have a good one. Yeah, you know, the words of Matthew 18 come to mind. Matthew 18:7 says, woe to the world. Woe to the world because of its stumbling blocks. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man through whom the stumbling blocks come. And woe to that man.
And unfortunately, the people love it that way.
They do.
They have itching ears. They want to hear, just like in the days of Jeremiah or whatever, I think it's Jeremiah 5:31, you know, and it says, and my people love to have it so.
Yeah, they do. Well, folks, don't practice lawlessness. Do like Jason read from Psalms 37, trust in the Lord and do good. Well, how do you know it's good? Glad you asked. You have to read His Word. You have to come to church on Sunday mornings and hear and see what's good, straight from the Word. And so with that, we invite you to church tomorrow morning. Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central and East Coast. If you haven't been wiped out by the storm, you can join us about noon. And we do invite you to church. You can come to the website, scripturesforamerica.org. And right up in the top left, you can click on, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain, the live video stream. We'll have a scriptural insight and study for you about 10 o'clock. We'll have a welcome by John. We'll have some good music by Shananiah. We'll have a communion message. And we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired sermon by Pastor Peters. So you have to have a good internet connection to watch it. If you don't, if you just have shortwave, we do invite you. You can also listen to the audio portion of that. And that's on WTWW shortwave. Jason, it sounds like this new, I guess that's an evening frequency, the 5745. I've had reports of it coming in well. But
yep,
I heard
that's
something.
What I've got as well.
Are we? Does it look like we're going to be able to stay on that frequency now? Or
No, it doesn't. We just don't know what's going to happen with that. Just waiting to find out.
Okay. Well, if that changes, folks, we'll sure let you know. The other frequency, 9.480, I believe, is the other frequency we're on WTWW, shortwave, as well as on the website and on the audio satellite. Well, we thank you for joining us, John, Jason. Thanks for tuning in with us this morning. We thank you, the Remnant. Kyle, thanks for braving the roads and getting out here to the Radio Ranch. We do thank you, Remnant, for joining us. And remember, this is the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network. Our address, if you want to write, is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. If you want to send an email, you can send it through the website, scripturesforamerica.org. The email address is preacher@sfaw.org. Well, men, hope you like this song. Pastor sure liked it, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 rolling,
rolling, rolling, keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, snake high.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake high. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Jesus Christ himself in the Gospel of John declares, quote, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you," end quote. God created all races, but those who advocate racial integration would destroy his creation by intermarriage. Such people are enemies, not only of all races, but of Almighty God himself. To find out who they are, send for the thoughtful pamphlet, A Just Look at the Race Issue, and enclose a $2 offering U.S. funds. That's a $2 offering U.S. funds for the pamphlet, A Just Look at the Race Issue. Write to Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. That address again, Scriptures for America Worldwide, Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535, USA. Christ also says of the world, quote, "It hates me because I testify of it, that its deeds are evil."